Hello, and welcome to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay School's podcast series. I'm Drew Reed, Chief Development Officer. Lee Burns is away. In today's podcast, we introduce two new varsity sports to Macaulay's growing list of athletic offerings for students. This year, mountain biking and ultimate have become official varsity sports. Ultimate, which some refer to as Ultimate Frisbee, but is officially referred to as Ultimate because of trademark sensitivities, will be on the list of spring offerings, and mountain biking is the fall sport. In all, this makes 17 varsity sports for Macaulay. Yes, you heard me right, 17. The choices are varied and are designed to appeal to a variety of student athletes. In this podcast, Kenny Scholl, Executive Director of Athletics and Special Assistant to the Head of School, talks to Jesse Teague, coach of the mountain biking team, and Jake Altimus, who has added Ultimate to his list of titles. Let's join Kenny, Jesse, and Jake in the studio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very exciting podcast here with two of our coaches in the athletic department, new to the athletic department, I might add. Mm-hmm. Coach Jesse Teague, who is now our head coach of our varsity mountain biking team. Very excited about that, and we'll elaborate in just a moment there. Class of 2000, Coach, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And then Coach Jake Altimus, who's been with us since 2011 in many roles, but primarily as our director of the outdoor program, and also has been for years our head varsity climbing coach. And then we will add in the spring varsity ultimate, which we're very excited about as well. And of course, Jake, one of the keys to adding varsity ultimate, as I may as a quick aside, is that we finally have a field long enough for you to actually practice. Just in a quick kind of overview, one of the things that we think is very important for every Macaulay student is to have that opportunity to contribute to something that has a common goal. It can be the arts. It can certainly be all kinds of activities, but athletics really falls into that category where a young man is part of a team. He learns how he can contribute. He creates these lifelong memories that only those circumstances of having that common goal and doing things you didn't think you could do or that you did together give them. And now that we have 977 boys as of today on this campus, we need to find more and more opportunities for young men to experience this. So we're very excited about adding these two sports to our athletics roster. We are now up to 17 varsity sports. Wow. Which is really exciting, and arguably 18 if you allow rowing to be in a fall and a spring sport. So there are many opportunities for the boys. The more the better, and we are very, again, excited about adding what Coach Altimus has called mountain sports. Not sure how ultimate fits into that mountain sport, but so let's start by Jake. Kind of take us through kind of how we got here and your approach to the outdoor program, but more specifically about the two sports that you're the head coach of, that being ultimate and climbing.
Indeed. So the whole idea with kind of mountain sports is allowing for a somewhat, it used to be called the non-traditional approach to athletics. As someone who played most of those sports in college, competing for a school, I never saw it as non-traditional. Athletes work hard to be athletes. Mm-hmm. So my approach from the day I arrived at Macaulay was to help all students find a way to be their best athlete.
And if I may say quickly, when we interviewed you for the job, that came out loud and clear that was your approach to the outdoor program. And I remember that very well.
Indeed. It's just something I really both take pride in and believe in wholly, because all of these sports are something you can do for a lifetime.
Right.
With ultimate, I still compete almost 50. With mountain biking, I still ride with the team, and each year I set goals for myself to what am I going to improve on? With sure. climbing, same thing. The rock will be there. The question is whether or not I can get up it. And from that, passing that on, as Jesse has helped me with in the time that we've been here together, you know, it's beautiful to see that grow within the students. And so from that, because of, you know, the school does a great job of providing opportunities for students to challenge themselves, wanted to do that within the outdoor program. And so creating, you know, sports that are competed elsewhere. Climbing is competed in colleges and on a World Cup tour. Mountain biking is competed at numerous disciplines, at the high school, collegiate, Olympic level, the World Cups. This is just something that you can choose to be a professional at if you have the talent. Ultimate has professional leagues, though I you can hear me hesitate. some of my friends play in those leagues, and they certainly take it very seriously. Those games are broadcast. There are high-level athletes trying to execute skill at a high level. Mm-hmm. And so the school can also do that, and we can certainly build those talents within the students that we have here.
Yeah, and one of the keys to being able to add varsity sports, of course, is having the potential or having the opportunity to compete. There, it's one thing to have a team, but you have to have opponents, and you have to really kind of have a league, and you have to have those. So in all of these sports, that's kind of come to fruition over the years. So, Jesse, talk a little bit about that, because your sport, you probably won't have a home game for a while, if I may say, home match for a while. It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
You're having to travel everywhere. So talk about the league and the boys and kind of how it all works in mountain biking.
Yeah, I'll touch real quick on mountain sports and just, you know, the amount of students that the outdoor program impacts,
right,
and kind of takes in is pretty incredible. And so it's cool to move from just having climbing as a varsity sport to having ultimate and mountain biking as well. Like Jake said, I still race at, you know, my age, and sometimes I do well and sometimes I have terrible days. I have friends my age and older who still race. It's really neat to be a part of a sport that that you can continue doing as you go. Mountain biking is really, I mean, it is developed and grown over the past 20 years. I remember going to my first race as a Macaulay student with another Macaulay student, his dad, that'd be Jason Fennell, and his dad, who worked for Lightspeed, a local mountain bike company.
Right.
Well, and road bike. But, you know, then it was a grassroots, relatively thrown together thing. And now, you know, almost 30 years later, when we go to these Tennessee League races, there are 500 competitors.
Wow.
It's really incredible. Yeah. And we were with that league, I think we joined in pretty close to the beginning of Tennessee mountain biking.
Yeah, I think the first or second year, yeah, I actually went to Bob Byers and to Kenny to say, hey, is it okay if we have a mountain bike team? Yeah. We'd like to try and figure this out to see if it's something the school can do. And the administration was very supportive to say, yeah, let's see what happens. And it grew into Jesse being able to be the full-time coach and now turning into a varsity program, yeah, which is really awesome.
Yeah, we had four riders, I think, when I started. And it wasn't a varsity program, but we traveled to compete. And, you know, we looked at maybe 30, 40 people in the whole league in Tennessee. And now it's just massive. So it is fun to go and compete. It is a high level of competition. We're talking athletes who train all year round for other races, but also for this league. And now we're, you know, this year we have close to 20 on the team. And so it's really neat to see, you know, that the program grow from 3 to 6 to 20.
Oh yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And we actually do have a home race as of last year.
Oh, we do.
We do. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And now it's not on campus.
but that's what I was saying. Yeah, but maybe a while before we could do that.
I would love to have one on campus. That'd be really cool.
That would be fun.
But yeah, it's in Chattanooga. The championship race is in Chattanooga.
That's great.
So we're really excited to host that. It's fun to kind of compete on what we would call quote unquote home turf.
Yeah.
But it's really neat.
Yeah, guys, it's been interesting, and the conversations that the three of us have had both kind of together and individually. The transition for the athletes from it being what we would call a club sport or part of the outdoor program to a varsity sport. And I think that shocked some guys a little bit of what that meant. And I think both of you guys did a wonderful job of transitioning these athletes into that. So elaborate on that a bit, because there's more to it than just saying, you know, stamping, okay, you're a varsity sport now, let's move on. It takes on a different feel, I guess. And some things are tangible, some are not. So, Jake, thoughts about ultimate becoming a varsity sport and the reaction of the boys?
The guys have been just so excited to be a varsity sport. They've always known that I've treated them in that way.
Right.
Like, I have high expectations for them. But there is the belief in the athlete of the coach can say lots of things, and the coach can even get a player to believe lots of things. But when they also believe that off the field, or when they're with their peers, now you're really onto something. And,
right.
And simply that being a varsity sport, you know, they can look their classmates in their eye and say, hey, yeah, like, you know, we try hard. We work hard in practice. Like, when we play, we're coming for you. Yeah. Like, we want to win. We want to do everything we can to win. Like, we'd love your help. If, you know, you're not getting some time on the sport you're playing, or you want to just come out and see what we're doing, do it, because we're ready for you. Like, we believe in ourselves, and the school has allowed us to believe in ourselves in maybe a different way than we used to. So I'm really excited to kind of see what that does for the team, because it should be a lot of fun.
I think so too. One quick fun, interesting story. It's kind of funny. I think within days of announcing that Ultimate was moving to a varsity sport, some of your team leaders were in my office ready to build the middle school program, which I admired their tenacity. I reminded them they might want to talk to you first before they came to see me, but that's something we'll need to work toward as well. Jess, your thoughts about that with your guys?
Yeah, you know, there are always some top performers who are driven in mountain biking.
Sure.
And there is now a certain cachet that they get to tap into, mm-hmm. That says, hey, the work that I've been putting in,
right,
the training I've been doing, is kind of legitimized from a school standpoint. And there's cachet there. But it also transfers into team culture. And that is that it's now not just the guys who want to work hard and to do well, who are expected to do that. But there's, you know, the team is expected to live up to that standard. And that doesn't mean they're all going to podium. It doesn't mean that they'll all go on to race, you know, after Macaulay. Hopefully, I mean, they will get better. They've gotten better already this season. They'll get stronger. But yeah, that team culture is what I think I've seen in the past, you know, month that we've been practicing. It's been neat to see that change.
Yeah.
And there is that, as Jake said, there's that respect, just legitimizing the work that they are already doing, amongst their peers.
Yeah. And I think maybe a little bit of, solidifying and kind of galvanizing that idea that you are competing for your school now. Yeah, I think they always were, but I think now that's legitimized even more.
Yeah.
You know, I think they
love wearing that jersey.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I get that, and they should, and they deserve it. Guys, what are the most challenging things you encounter in your individual sports? And I'll say this, you mentioned a minute ago, both of you have lifetime sports, and you know, those were not, at least in my day, and that's many, many years ago when I was a high school athlete, you know, you can't keep playing football as a lifelong sport. You know, you pay for it the rest of your life, but mm-hmm. you don't get to do it. And the same's true in all the team sports that I did. So I've always been envious of that, you know, mm-hmm. that I didn't get that opportunity. So anyway, what are the unique challenges to ultimate in climbing, Jake, that most would not think about?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is actually it's true for all sport, but it's simply like, are you willing to work on your weaknesses? Both ultimate and climbing are hugely technical sports. You know, there's the simple technical athletic, you know, within, well, both climbing and ultimate, of like your footwork. Are you setting up your cut well? Are you moving your foot delicately to place it on a hold? Right. So that's one technical aspect. But then it's also, what is the terrain? What is the opponent doing to you? And how do you deal with that? Do you have enough tools in your arsenal to take that on? And as somebody who tries to have a really broad skill set within mostly my life, I often struggle most to get athletes to be as broad as I want them to be, right, which is probably the true of every other coach at, on this campus. You know, it's like the classic competitors, you know, saying, hey, that's their weakness, attack their weakness.
Right.
And so we're trying to eliminate the weaknesses, but getting the students to buy into also working on their weaknesses, as especially with ultimate, we try, and climbing, you know, we're building a lot of skill. And so letting them know what their strengths are and how improving their weaknesses will further benefit their strengths.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Jesse, you know, what about you? What are you, what's the challenge you face? And, you know, your sport, it's just, it would scare me to death flying, mm-hmm. you know, doing that. So I think they have to overcome a lot of fear, mm-hmm. I would think, which is certainly part of competing. But so when you get up in the morning, you think, okay, what do I need to get done with these guys? What's that kind of the consistent thing that you always have to think you need to accomplish?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up fear. One of my first thoughts was, you know, there is an element of avoiding injury.
Sure.
And that's kind of strengthening weaknesses, like Jake just said, be that body or kind of looking at from a technical perspective, how to improve riding ability. Mountain biking is really, really neat because it's different every time you ride a trail. It's different. You can travel around the world and ride. But it's not just strength and endurance. There's that technical element, and there's that fear. There's some speed involved, less so with the type of racing we do in the Tennessee League, but in many forms of racing and mountain biking, it's true. So avoiding injury is one, building technical skills another. I do think that mountain biking and climbing in this regard are very unique in that we need the natural elements to be able to do
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, we were out doing a service project on a new park that's about to open in Chattanooga. It is a park that was organized. It will be a city park, county park, but it was organized, bought, funded by climbers and mountain bikers. And it is, so it's really neat to be a part of that, but that's a challenge, making sure we have open spaces, making sure that guys know how to pour back into the community and advocate for these places. But so that's, you know, that's, it's an interesting, I don't know, tact that, that they have to, navigate. And I think it's kind of unique somewhat to mountain sports, this, you know, the idea of mountain sports. And so I think that's one of the challenges. Motivating the guys is not usually a challenge.
Yeah.
We love being outside. It's good to be out there. But most sport is like that, right? It is a nice change from the classroom. It is for guys, especially, it's nice to move.
Yeah. Well, one question, forgive me. I really don't know the answer to this, but can you get rained out in mountain biking? I mean, is that possible?
It is possible. It does not happen often.
Okay.
It would take, usually it's more the lightning.
Right. Yeah.
We'll okay. ride through mud and rain and snow.
Yeah, there you go.
But once it becomes dangerous, like lightning, then no. I will say that those muddy mountain bike races usually require a lot of bicycle maintenance afterwards. And that's another aspect.
Well, yeah, that's my next question is, okay, so I'm competing and my what happens if I have a mechanical issue? Do I get to fix the bike and keep going, or, you know, what do I, am I out, or how does that work?
Yeah, they have kind of a pit, and they have volunteers from local stores there who will fix bikes. But you got to get to that pit zone, and that can be 2 miles, 3 miles, you know, 3 miles.
So you have to tote the bike there?
Yeah, you'll see people running with the bike.
That's great.
For, I mean, for the most part, if you have a mechanical like that, you're going to be out of the kind of competitive category. Right. But, you know, it's a season-long point system, so you need to finish.
Oh, yeah.
And we do part of what we teach along with strength and, and technical skill is maintenance.
Yeah.
So changing a flat, fixing basic, you know, basic fixes on the bike.
Wow, that's a good question. Yeah. Well, I'd always wondered that. I've seen us once, and I didn't get to see anybody break down, but I've seen it on TV, and guys would, or athletes, men and women, would be carrying that bike. You know, mm-hmm. It's not like NASCAR where you're looping around the pit every. You know, here you got to run back to it or down to it.
So. Well, and you see, like on the Tour de France, they have the chase cars, and they've got a bike ready for them to go.
Oh, yeah,
we're not quite there yet. But I don't think really that's the spirit of mountain biking. Anyway.
That's true. So, Jake, Ultimate, take us kind of through. I know you talked about the technical aspects of it, but yeah, how many competitors on the field? You know, are there offensive and defensive players? How does it set up?
So, Ultimate's played 7-on-7. Once the point starts, unless you're injured, you need to finish the point.
Okay.
So, a good offense, probably is going to score in somewhere between 2 and 7 passes. So a quick point. A not as good offense or playing against a very good defense, you might turn the ball over. The other team then has a chance to score. Ultimate's played on a essentially 110-yard field, 220-yard end zones, a 70-yard playing area. So and 40 yards wide. So now, from the hashes on a football field to basically one end zone. You got an ultimate field. So a lot of distance to cover. And so inevitably during a evenly matched game, there'll be one or two points that go on for like, 3 to sometimes 8 minutes. And so from that, it can be very grinding. Mental toughness and simple endurance come in. But largely there is an offensive unit that we're sending out. They look to, again, score efficiently. Mm-hmm. And then there's a defensive unit that will play a variety of defensive sets. It might be match defense where you're guarding a specific person, or zone defense where you're responsible for an area and forcing the ball to move to a place, or what we call junk, which would similar to most other sports where you're transitioning between one or more defenses, depending where either the ball is or where you are on the field. And then often there, most teams have what's called a pull play. Ultimate starts with a pull similar to a kickoff in football. And so there's a pull play that you're trying to run to score quickly. Often that doesn't work. The junk is trying to prevent that. And so you wind up having to run your offense, which is kind of your set patterns. And then you get into the red zone and you run your red zone offense there.
Wow.
We often have a varsity and a JV team in the effort to get everyone a lot of play time and a lot of experience. Probably this year, we will just take one team to the state championship. We, depending on the numbers, that's kind of how it works out. But having more subs, because at times the games are a bit of attrition. We'll play usually at least three games in a weekend. They're 75-minute games. So that adds up. The fatigue adds up.
Sure.
And then can you execute under pressure? So
yeah, it's interesting. I've seen you guys compete in practice and hearing you talk about it. I'm coaching defensive back. So when you start talking about playing man and zone and so there's that similarity there, and I get that. But then there's a basketball component to it and kind of the footwork. It feels a little bit like soccer sometimes, but there's no goal. So I think it's just kind of this really neat blend. But I tell you, the times I've played, I can't get past my backhanded flip the way you guys throw the thing. I mean, mine goes right into the ground. So even that little piece of it is there's a real technical side to it because those guys can throw the thing, 60, 70 yards at times?
Yeah, easily. We'll often have, usually we'll have one or two guys who really excel at putting the ball deep, and they can sometimes put it as far as 70 or 80 yards, which is endlessly desirable. I'm a big proponent of let's make the defense respect that we're going to go beyond them, and then that will open up everything else. But I'm also a big believer in if somebody's open, you need to have a way to get them the ball.
Right.
Which means having upwards of, you shouldn't just have a forehand and a backhand. You should have a variety of release points. You know, probably, so most of those guys, if you stood there with them, could probably throw the disc somewhere between 15 to 30, maybe even 50 unique ways, either from release point or et cetera. Yeah. And some of them would be kind of the same thing. But again, making micro adjustments within sport
right.
is really the move towards technical mastery. You know, the basketball player that can switch hands midair, finish easily on either side of the basket with either hand. That's very similar to what we're trying to do within Ultimate.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, folks, as you can tell, Macaulay School is so fortunate to have these two coaches helping us launch these two programs and even, in a more competitive light. And obviously their technical expertise, their passion fits right in line with the rest of our coaching staff. I have the greatest respect for both of you all. And you, thank you for getting us to a point where we can now embrace these two wonderful, wonderful sports as part of the slate of Macaulay Varsity Athletics. So thanks both to both of you. And as always, go Big Blue.
You've been listening to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay School's podcast series. I'm Drew Reed, Chief Development Officer, and I want to thank you for listening and for supporting Macaulay. Support from alumni, parents, grandparents, and friends is what allows us to attract and retain great coaches, teachers, and mentors like Jesse Teague and Jake Altimus, and to expand our athletic offerings to sports like mountain biking and ultimate. Thanks for your support. And if you have comments on this podcast or any other of our growing number of podcasts, let us hear from you. Thanks for listening.